Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome back to another edition of On Point. I'm your host, A-Trey. I'd like to say thank you for joining us today with my host, my co-host here, Ty Trees. How you doing this morning, partner?
I'm doing good, man. This is going great. Life's good.
Yeah.
Couldn't be better.
Yes. I figure any day that I can wake up and my eyes open and I see this world, I'm in a good place. I have no issues. And welcome you all back. Hopefully nobody had a rough week, and if you did and you made it through it, then it wasn't that rough at all. Sometimes the better things that we get to endure, those things that we endure, makes us better anyway. This week we're going to go over something in our segment, Community Vibe, the invisible man in the room. Where's Daddy? And this week we're taking a look at rapidly vanishing father figures in the American home. Now, this is more than just a black and white thing. This is multicultural. And the fallout is leaving the burning question behind, where are our fathers? And usually when you hear something in the news or a broadcast or report or something to that effect, the fathers are missing from the family, the American structure, family structure of the American home has broken or is becoming dilapidated or something to that effect. And like I said, it's not a color issue. The first thing that they usually say is, well, African American men make up most of abandoned homes. That's not quite true. And I'm not casting any stones or pointing any fingers. I'm just going to give you some of the facts. And this is from the CDC. So I'd like for you guys to chime in. You can call us at 347-855-862. Feel free to give us some of your input. What do you attribute this epidemic almost to, Ty? Why do you think?
You know, I like to just go a little deeper. I mean, you know, where is Daddy? I'd like to say, you know, yeah, I get that, you know, society, the control, the manipulation, the need to make a dollar out of 15 cents. You know, I get that. But when it all comes down to it, you know, I think as myself being a dad, you know, Daddy's in his own world. And, you know, we as human beings and individuals, we all have our own individual worlds that we attribute to and how we think and behave and act. And, you know, given the nucleus of the situation as far as responsibility and accountability, you know, I just put it at that point that, you know, Daddy's in his world and, you know, yes, we understand the system and the control and how it's built up, and it just doesn't seem like it's helping in some degrees. Yes, it does help, but you do have the majority that are under that mat of being oppressed or handicapped, and that's just striving to try to do well. Huh?
Handicapped? What do you mean, handicapped?
For instance, child support. You know, it's like you have a 50-50 situation going on, and everybody's in agreement, both parties, but yet one is having to pay the other and yet still contributing. And, you know, you have that fact of just pay what you have to, forget about the, you know, let them suffer, don't pay extra, don't buy shoes, don't buy this. Let your child support, let her or him take care of it with that. And that put the individual who is handicapped in a predicament of having to choose, okay, is that the right thing to do? In all essence, we love our kids. So, you know, the right thing to do in my eyes is...
Are you saying that most of the fathers are missing because of child support? I don't believe that. I'm not saying.
Okay, go ahead.
I'll tell you why. One, I was that dad. I was that dad. I had to pay out the wazoo for my children, and you know, this was implemented by the court. They didn't look at me as an individual. I was just another number on the docket inside of a file with a case profile and an account number that had to pay through the state. And they get a percentage for every time a payment comes through and they make a payment.
Right.
That's another issue. That's another issue. And do I detest child support the way it is now. I respect what it stands for, what it's supposed to be for, but there are individuals who abuse it. And
it definitely needs some reform.
Oh, but hell yeah. See, here's my thing. I think a lot of dads are missing from the home, but it's not by choice. It's not by choice.
Right.
There's this little clause inside of that comes with a child support package or with a visitation package. Mind you, that's crazy.
Right,
I hate that. Parental visitation. Yes, I'm coming to visit my kids. Suck my monkey toe. I hate that. Nonetheless, let me get back on point. Here's the thing.
Okay.
There are mothers out there, and it's a small majority, but because of their actions, they look so huge. And they got some dads that do it too. But there's mothers out there who believe that quality time with the father is a moot point if they can't be with the father. And if Shaquanda got her feelings hurt, or her and Raphael had a falling out, and he says, well, they went their separate ways, and she says, you know what?
Mm-hmm.
I don't like you, and I'm not going to let you see my kids. And I've said this before, and I'll say it again.
Okay.
Without this particular father and that particular mother, those particular kids wouldn't particularly exist. So for the female that this applies to, stop it. You're hurting the kids. And there's another argument. They say, well, most of the fathers are in prison.
Right.
I'm not in prison.
That's true.
And then they say, well, most of the fathers are just, they don't care about their kids. That's a lie. That is a lie. You have,
of course it is.
Generations now. You have generations now where the mothers are just becoming younger. Now, mind you, this is my opinion. The mothers are younger, and their attitudes are not going to be as mature as a woman of 35 or 40. But, mind you, there's some of them in there, too. Pay me.
Right. But
you don't see the kid, and that's leverage. That's a bad thing.
But let me get back to my point I was trying to make earlier, because, you know, me being single, I'm finding that a lot of women are having kids that the fathers are not in their lives, and that's, I don't know, maybe that's my little side of the country in the Southwest Arizona. But my point I'm trying to make is that, you know, like I was saying, daddy's in his own world. And when I mean own world, I mean his own mind, because, you know, I'm not harping on men in general. I'm just saying the figures, who cares, you know, 50%, yes, some is in there, 50%, some are not. But the only person that cares is the one that's listening that's affected by that man who's not in that person's life. And whatever that man's going through, again, it goes back to what's going on in his head based on the stimuli, which is the system, reality, whatever he perceives it to be. It makes him feel that he has to go jump and be on some other ship opposed to the ship that he started to set sail with. You know what I mean? Far as his family or the person he chose to lay down with. And that goes for the woman, too. So that is what it comes down to. You know, daddy's in his own world. You understand what I'm saying?
To a degree, but I don't think it's every daddy. I think we get a bad rap. I think a lot of dads get a bad rep because nobody sees behind the scenes. They don't see us struggling to get to see our kids. They don't see us going to court. You know, we don't have the kids this weekend, and mommy said, you know what, I have something to do.
True, but you had the same.
People don't see when dads get locked up because
they didn't make
a payment through the court. They don't see that.
Right, they don't see how their child support arrears keep them from getting a job because, you know, they looking at them like, oh, this is a deadbeat dad. You know, that's me personally.
Affects your credit negatively. You could be late on one payment, and it could be initiated by the state. And a job will turn you down. Any job that you – listen, I worked for the bank for 20 years, and they do a background check. They do a credit check on you. If you have standing debt to the state or to the federal government, it could be a student loan. They figure that you are a risk. You are a risk.
Right.
And so that way, and risk meaning you're apt to fall on the lines of embezzlement, trying to get money,
finding a way to get money
from that institution. And so they won't hire you.
But
now
listen,
imagine
Trey. Right. I get that, Trey. What I want to say is that you have the same role that I have and everyone else have, and yet you were there, and myself included. But, again, it goes back to how strong-minded that person is. And, you know, it's so many things that's set up to keep daddy invisible, but yet only the strong daddy and the daddy that is the daddy is there. And it's a lot of daddies that's not daddy that has that mentality. I just think that...
I'm sorry. We have a new caller. Are you on with us?
Oh, go ahead.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys this morning?
Good morning, Lady Trees. Welcome aboard.
This Lady Trees, what you think about Daddy? Where Daddy at? You please chime in.
I thank you guys for allowing me to chime in this morning. You do have a lot of good fathers out here that take care of their kids on their own, independently. Unfortunately, they don't get that credit that they deserve, you know, because it's more of a woman's job, which is to love and nurture. But then you have those fathers that's out here busting their butts, you know, have a job or two, trying their best to, you know, look after their kids. For example, I have a father that has a little girl that's 14 now. Of course, him and the mom are not on good terms, but he tried his best to take care of his daughter, and he does. You know, she lives with us, and, you know, she looks up to my father because he takes care of her, got darn good care of her. So you got those fathers that do try their best and do their thing to take care of their child. So for the ones that's out here doing their thing and taking care of their kids and not looking for that, you know, not looking for anything in return, I applaud those fathers. I really do. For the ones that, you know, I mean, I see that they even give the ones hard time, arresting them, put them on child support. I mean, don't give a man a hard time if he's there for the child, you know, if he does his part in doing what he can for the child. Continue to let him do his part, whether if you guys can see eye to eye or not, because you have this kid that's in the middle of it. So that comes to an agreement for the kid. You know what I mean? It's not about me and you anymore. It's about the sake of the kid.
I agree.
Right, and I was blessed
That doesn't let the fathers, you dads that are out there, listen, that doesn't let you off the hook if you just decided, you know what, I don't like Bonquisha. You know what? You know what I'm saying, man? Because what I mean is when I'm with her, you know, she be messing them up. Shut up, man. You sound stupid. Listen, if you made kids, you took the time to lay down with that female, you took the time to put that work in to conceive, and you saw what happened, you saw the end result of it, take the time to be there for your kids. End of story.
Yeah. Right.
No ands, ifs, or buts. And you silly individuals who decided, I don't want to see him, so he can't be with my kid because little Jaquan can have a daddy anywhere. No, he can't. His father is the person that helped you bring that individual child into the world. Look past your own silly pettiness and see a real parent. A real parent makes sure that another parent is on their side. Let me go over something. this is the myth of the absent father. And not that it's a color issue, but I'm brown, so that myth of the absent brown father. Now, they said in some cases, differences between black fathers and Caucasian fathers, Latino fathers, weren't statistically significant. Nonetheless, the fact is that there's no dramatic drop-off for African-American fathers. It's still a surprising revelation to people that that we're in the family household. And now, considering the fact that black fatherhood is a phrase that is almost accompanied by the word crisis in U.S. society, it's understandable that the CDC, that's the Center for Disease Control, results seem a little innovative. This is from the
Center for Disease Control.
And here's something. Children under the age of five and under, if you fed or ate meals with your children daily, 63%, say what these are, 63%, 73%, 78.2%, the first being Caucasian, or excuse me, Latino, the second being Caucasian, and the third at 78% African American. Fathers not living with their children, 12.6% are African American, 8.6% are Latin American. Hold on. If you bathed your child or put a diaper on them, this is children five and under, if you put a diaper on them, these are the dads that are actually involved. 45%, 60%, 70%. 45% Latinos, 60% Asian, 70.4% African American in the home to change a diaper, bathe a kid, something like this to that effect daily. The ones without seven or that were not living in the house, 12% on us, 6.6% Caucasian, 7.3%. If you read to your children, played with your children, parents who actually played with their children, 74.1%. 82% and 82.2%. That's our chime, so we can go to our next subject. But hold on.
What?
If for the children 5 to 18 in the household, good, bad, or indifferent, you ate meals with your kids, 71%, 64%, and 61%. 71% is Latino. They were there. 64% Caucasian were there. 61%. 64% were Caucasian. 61% were African American. Took their children to school or activities or involved with them in school activities, extracurricular activities, what have you. 22%, 19.5%, 28%. 28%.
We're the majority. That's why. Notice people, minorities.
Here's the thing. In every instance, we steadfast. Behind a point or two, mostly, in all, we steadfast. Where it's not that we're absent from the home. That's not the whole thing. That's not the complete picture. There's more to it. There are outside influences that actually change that. Here's my thing. If you don't
come on, Trey, get the shit behind those doors.
If you don't like the way a statistic is, you really want to know more about it, about the background noise. And you want to know more about it. Read a little. Check out a little more. Study a little more. Hey, we're going to go to our second segment behind closed doors. And our topic is to avoid the chill, bring the fire. We're going to explore the things that keep passion alive and answer the questions to how, what, the wind, and the wind. And kind of like in order to avoid the no passion, no chill. You know, that's the thing that can tear and ultimately destroy a relationship. Here's some. Stop forgetting that the person that you're with is an individual. That that can kill a relationship. Don't forget to talk. Don't forget to play. I think that we become so consumed inside of our daily lives, daily things, that we don't get a chance to remember.
Remember.
What's your feelings on that?
What's your feelings on it?
As far as what?
Okay.
Okay.
We're having a little technical difficulty. You with me, Ty?
Yeah.
I can hear you, man. You just got that song. Somebody got speakers.
I don't know.
Yeah, well, all I got to say is, you know, as far as people speaking and things, it's hard because with assumptions and a lot of speculations, people just really don't take the straight and narrow because I guess it's more fear, the fear, you know. I don't know what it is, but I know me, I'll be a little hesitant, but yet I still buck up and do the right thing because I prefer the true results of what my intentions are so that I don't have no back-end results and regrets. But everybody's not like
you, so,
you know, what about
for
you?
For passion? No, I'm talking about
yeah,
this. I mean, if you gotta be the things you do to avoid that dry shock. You know, people get together, right? This is my view. People get together. They're in a relationship, and time goes on. The things that drew them together, they actually seem to forget.
Yeah, but I'm talking about the essence of communication, though. You know, just basic communication.
That's a part of it, too. That's a big part of it, but there's more.
So,
that's more.
No,
there's more.
Well, body language, intent, you know, and a lot of people are fearful. So, you know, the hesitation there, you know, so you wind up wanting to kiss the frog, but then you hesitate, and later on, that frog turned into, you know, a princess. It's too late. Do that make sense?
But my thing is, how do you preserve a relationship? You're in 5 years in a relationship.
You know,
and
how you preserve it?
Here's the thing. You're in 5 years in a relationship. You like her. She liked you. And now you guys don't have a damn thing in common. Why? Where and
obviously because
of what?
It's because of the mental aspect. You know, a lot of us judge our books by covers, opposed to, you know, testing it out and swimming through those waters and seeing how warm and, you know, just discovering all the ins and outs of that person. And a lot of us are stimulated based on what we see and feel and touch, and based on that we jump into it, and then we wind up after the smoke clears realizing, oh sheesh, what have I done? And usually you done signed the contract that's too late as far as that commitment with that person, and now trying to get out could be a little tricky depending on how crazy this mofo
is. No, that's not it. That's not what I'm talking about, bro. I don't want to get out. I want to stay in. My thing is if I stay in there, if I stay in there, how do I keep it? And I get what you're saying about communication, but there's a lot of ways to communicate. Like the things that you used to do when you started out, those are the things that you should still continue to do. My daddy told me, may he rest in peace, don't ever do anything for a female now to impress her that you're not willing to continue to do. For the rest of all the time that you're with her, and that the same goes with a woman, you know, my daughter.
That's true.
Saying, hey, don't promise them things that you do or give them just for now that you won't particularly do later. And here it is. I think those are the things that cause relationships to chill, to die, because they forgot. They forgot to play. Yeah.
Here's the bomb relationships where, you know, you got people out there that are predictable, you know, what they're going to do. They've got routines. If they shake it up a little, you know, pretty much how far they go, far as the different levels of good to bad. And then there are people that are just everyday spontaneous. And, you know, with that being said, you have to gauge, are you willing to settle down for the lifetime for this? You know, this person up, down, or this person just cruise straight, and you can predict that, then you can kind of foresee where your relationship going to be and wants to be opposed to that
person. I see your point to a degree, but that has, to me, that has nothing to do with how you preserve it. You see a person in the beginning. You see a person in the beginning. You
right.
see them in the beginning. You get to know
and
them
they
in
shine
the beginning.
In. And right,
everything,
I get it.
Everything changes. Everything changes.
Right.
Everything changes.
The hole is a rock. Right.
You have to change with it. But I believe, and it's my opinion, if you keep the fundamentals of your relationship, I don't think it goes sour.
No.
Compliment your chick. For the ladies, compliment your fella. Compliment your fella.
That's true.
That's how you keep it hot. How do you keep it hot?
But
that's the question.
People change with the environment as well. You know, you get into stars and how they are, and they start getting starstruck and, you know, fading away from you. And, you know, that different lifestyles can draw people out of situations, and that can't be preserved regardless of whatever you're doing. People have to deal with that, and you deal with that based on how that person was when you met them. Are they shifty? Are they genuine? Are they straight up? And that's what it is. If they straight up, yeah,
but
they might let them down.
How do you preserve it, Ty? That's the question.
You,
how do
you
preserve
go ahead and put
it? Matters
you put
a damn about all the things that can come in between.
We behind closed doors. You put your wetsuit on and put your face in it. That's what you do. You know, you get her all sauced up at night. Get him sauced up, you know, at night. And it's preserved.
That's not all the time. He's got to have something more. You know what? It's like this.
Man.
Relationship. Love is like a plate of food. It's like a plate of food, in my opinion. You can have just plain macaroni and cheese, and some people are cool with that. Some you can just have just a piece of barbecue, and some people are cool with that. And then others, you got to have everything. We have a caller. We have a short time. Please chime in your name.
Richard.
Hey, Richard.
Hey,
how
what's
can
going
I
on,
you today?
Richard?
Thank you for calling On Point.
Yeah, what do you think about this?
Well,
how do you preserve the thing?
Well, what I know, just from my little short I've been married here 2 years, but I know that in my experience, each person has to be willing to grow. Even though you might have met this individual at this level, at whatever level it was that you met, person has to be willing to grow in that particular level. Some may grow faster than others or whatnot, but
right.
you got to be
Hold
willing.
Hold on, gentlemen. I'm so sorry. Our time is dying.
Hey, I feel exactly
and
where
listen,
you
Richard,
Richard.
I want you to come back with us next week. We're going to continue this. I want you to come
okay.
back with us next week, and we're going to continue this, and we're going to drop some knowledge on these people's heads. Everybody, bottom
okay.
to the top, raise your glasses. Every thought is grand. Every idea is fantastic. Every step you take and every endeavor you make, may they always be on point.
On point.
All right.
Thank you for joining us this week.
Peace.